1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to kind of go on a goal-setting spree here a little bit. We're not going to get into that this week, but I just went and looked at my notes. I haven't taught on any goal-setting or anything for several years, so I thought it might be kind of good to... I was going to do it today, but the Lord dropped this more on my heart today. You know, it's important that we kind of want to accomplish something. We've got to have some sort of drive. I don't know about you, but has there been a time in your life when you feel like you're just spinning your wheels? You know, or what I thought of the other day, are we running in a race or are we just running in place? Motion without advancement is frustrating. You know, sometimes we get stuck in that rut and we need to unlock ourselves. Today we're going to explore what's holding us back from accomplishing the goals. This time of year, people get all fired up about doing some things, usually losing weight, eating better, you know, maybe studying more, praying more, you know, maybe you're trying to help your educational background, whatever the case may be. All these things are worthy goals we try to set this month. But the sad thing is, most of the time we fall short or we fail. So today we're going to look at what's holding us back before we start to set goals on what we want to do. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, over to verse 27. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. But then do it to receive a perishable wreath. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we do it for an imperishable. Therefore, run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not without beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we honor you today for all the great and mighty things that you have put inside our life. We thank you that we were not just saved out of something, we're saved into something. And Lord, we want to be able to accomplish everything that you've called us to do. I yield to the gift you put in me, and I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we see that Paul was using a sports analogy here, which is very common by the philosophers of that era. You know, a lot of times some people get kind of worn out on some sports analogies, but, you know, they do help us in some ways. What Paul was saying here is that there's only one winner in a race, and that's why we have to try. You know, our culture, you know, it's all good, I suppose. They have their good intentions and hearts, but, you know, it's hard to have some people to want their kids to excel to try to win. You know, they're into the participation bad phase, you know, and that's all fine, I suppose, to a certain age. But, you know, there comes a time in our life when we're going to have to step it up and we're going to have to try to win. Now, I just want to clarify the Christian race, you know, of life that we're all in. We're all winners. We do get participation badges and we are all going to get the same thing. We get to go to heaven. Amen. But I'm not talking about that illustration right here. I want to talk about the race that you're supposed to run and the race that I'm supposed to run. Because we all have unique and similar callings both. Similar in the sense there's certain things we as Christians all do just because that's the way the Christian life calls. But, you know, we're each individual and we're unique, and God has a certain call on each of our lives. So we have each something that we're going to do, some sort of race that we're supposed to run. You know, so I just want to challenge us. Are we winning that individual race that he has set before us? You know, are we coming in first in what God has called us to do? And I think that's a fair question. You know, I look back on my life the last several years. I know that maybe I haven't been running to win like I should have. There's things in my life that maybe I haven't addressed, or things, you know, different attitudes or desires or things, or maybe my intentions are right, but, you know, my applications are wrong. You know what I'm saying? You can have good intentions, but bad application. You know, that happens in marriage all the time, right? We may intend to do the right thing, but we don't apply it very well. And that's when problems start to come in our life. Now, what I found out, it's usually not a God problem, the reason why I don't accomplish what I'm supposed to do. It's usually a me problem. And what I mean by that is that sometimes when we have mediocre efforts, we're going to have mediocre results. And I'm not going to stand here and lie to you and say you can be going 100 miles an hour for God every day there is. That's tough. It is tough. But I do know this, that if we spend some time with God and get some sort of an idea what God wants us to do, and then we write it down, and then we, after we write down that idea, then we ask God to give us how can we some steps to accomplish that, and then we stick with that until we accomplish it, I believe we'd be a lot better off than we are just floating around. A lot of Christians are just floaters. You know what I mean? You know, like the Transcendental Meditation guys, you know, down there in Fairfield. You know, that appealed to me back when I was in high school, or a little after high school. A friend of mine wanted to check it out, and I don't know, we checked it out. I don't know, it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be. Never did get off the ground. But, you know, I do know this, that it was definitely not of God. But I do know what is of God. And I know what it means to start to do something and try to accomplish it. And we're going to try to help each other in this endeavor here in the first part of the year. Now, sometimes we need to change our perspective from just finishing to winning. You know, I know we can get in that mode, right? You know, as long as we finish, sometimes we get into a situation, we're doing something, and we just kind of lose our zeal, so we're just going to plod along and make it to the end. You know, I was over by the track one day and doing some stuff and watching some of the kids in gym class. There's some of them that really flat out go for it, and some of them, you can tell they're just there. You know what I mean? They don't try, they don't run, they're just kind of piddling out there. And, you know, back in, you know, the minor league days of baseball, you know, they were the ones out there picking the dandelions and, you know, during the game, you know, stuff like that. And that's all fine when you're little to do that sort of stuff. But once you get a little bit older, you know, we got to start figuring things out. We got to, you know, life is short and we need to accomplish some things. And, you know, I just heard a thing yesterday when I was watching something. It said that, you know, one of the quarterbacks mentioned, and, you know, it's true, but in sports, sometimes they, instead of playing to win, they play not to lose. And I think that's what we do in life sometimes. We're afraid to go for it. I don't know about you, but sometimes if you're busy, you're doing a lot of stuff, and you really have a desire, but yet you're afraid to do that because what are you going to feel like if you don't make it? How's that going to make you feel? And sometimes we don't like that feeling, do we? We don't like that feeling where it's that we have failed, and maybe we failed before, maybe we've tried things, and, you know, maybe we're not, you know, accomplishing or growing in the way that we want to in the areas that we want to do, and so we're afraid to try again. And I just want to challenge us, you know, that we need to break that mindset, because God says here that He wants us to run in such a way that you may win. And that's what we found in verse 24. If we're going to do it, try your best. I've always told my kids growing up, you may not always be the best, but you can always do your best. You may not be the best at a certain thing, but if you're trying your best and you leave it all out on the field, you know you've did everything you can to do. And I believe we as adults need to get to that phase again where we're going to just lay it out there. You know, what is some of your goals? And we're going to look at some of those starting next week. But kind of think about, what are some things you want to do? What do you want to accomplish for God? You know, there's three areas of our life that we need to address. Number one, and it should be first, is our spiritual. Number two is our emotional. And number three is our physical. A lot of times we get so hung up on the physical because we look in the mirror and we see that, don't we? Sometimes it's hard to look in the mirror and see our spiritual or our emotional side. You know, that's what we ask our mate about, amen, to some degree. How am I really doing here, honey? You know, and then that's hard to handle sometimes. But those are three areas that we need to continually be developing. No matter how old we are or young we are, there's room for growth. Now, then Paul went into the idea of practicing self-control. Self-control. This is the reason why a lot of us fail at our goals. We may set our goals, and, you know, how many probably spent some money on goal setting stuff? You know, maybe you bought a book or something like that. I know I have. And just you go through that stuff, and, you know, it sounds all good, but then all of a sudden, you know, January's chugging along, chugga, 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 chugga. Then all of a sudden you hit February, and, ooh, you know, sure, you know, you just don't feel like doing it no more. You know, maybe you pulled up lame, you know, trying to lose weight, you know, been there, did that, right? You know, whatever the case may be, and, you know, whatever your goals are. And so we got to figure out what it is. Now, we're going to look at the problem, and some of it's self-control. Some people have better self-control than others, but we're going to look at an analogy, a sports analogy Paul used here. And he's talking here about the Isthmian Games. And that's a hard word to say. It took place the year before and the year after the Olympic Games. They had 4 years of games, the Greeks did. They had the Olympics, then they had this Isthmian Games for 2 years, one before, one after, and then on the third year they had another game. And I don't remember the name of that one right now. And the Greeks were not just into these games for entertainment, but they took it very serious. They was passionate about these games. And they really wanted to do their best. Now, what they did, if you wanted to be in these games, these candidates had to take an oath. And the oath consisted of this. Number one, if you was going to compete in these games, you had to testify that you had been in training for 10 months. 10 straight months of training before they would even let you on the field. And on the field, they did running, they did boxing, they did several of these events. But you had to show to them that you were serious about your sport, about your craft. And I believe that we as believers sometimes need to, you know, show God that we're really serious about this. You know, I want to be better Christian. You know, I want to be able to say amen and say, there it is, praise God. You know what I mean? Get my faith built up there. I want to accomplish more things. So maybe I need to train a little harder. Secondly, they lived on a strict self-denying diet, refraining from wine and pleasant foods, meaning they stayed away from wine and the, you know, maybe the cupcakes or the donuts or whatever the case may be, the sweet stuff. They had to lay off that stuff. They had to tell their body what to do. And as believers, that's what we need to do. Because the weak part in this whole system of what we have is the fallen nature, the old nature, and that's our flesh nature. It doesn't want to die even though it is dead. It still tries to, it's kind of like them Terminator series is where they keep coming back to life. You know, just when you think the movie's over, all of a sudden he comes back to life again. You'll just think, you know, you're cruising along and you're serving God. And just when you think it's going well, all of a sudden your flesh rises up. And maybe you do something really carnal or say something carnal. You know, where'd that come from? Well, that's that old nature. And thirdly, when they trained, they had to endure cold and heat during this very laborious training regimen. See, they just didn't train to say, wow, I'm on the team. No, I want to win the race. It wasn't enough for them just to be on the team. We want to have to be the best that we can be. So to me, you know, what I gained from that is the fact that it shouldn't be good enough that we're just a Christian, which, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not dissing that. But I'm saying we want to try to grow in our faith. We want to try to be better and accomplish the things that, you know, God has put inside of us. We just barely have scratched the surface. So self-control, it says here, in all areas of our life. And that's what God requires for us. Not just in the Christian stuff. You know, a lot of times, you know, we think, well, I can just be good at maybe a certain thing, like going to church or, you know, doing this or doing that. You know, maybe I pray every day. But God wants that excellence to rub over into all areas of our life. Now these Greeks, which I never did quite get, now it's more than this, when they competed, all they got was that little pine wreath that they put around their head that later on would wither and die. Now the crown that we get is the crown of righteousness, and that's going to last forever. Now we'll say also one of the perks that the Greeks got is they would sing songs about them, but you know, I don't know how big you guys are on somebody singing a song about how good you are. But that was one of the other benefits that they got for winning the race. So we're competing for an eternal crown. And that crown will last better. Now, Paul, after he used some of these analogies, he came back and he started to get on himself again. Paul was one of those guys that was hard on himself. He said he didn't run without aim, meaning a finish line. I don't know about you, but have you guys ever been on a treadmill? Maybe you own one. You know, I'm not, you know, complaining about them, but I'm not exactly a treadmill person, as you can probably tell. I don't know about you, but it's just no fun to be on a treadmill just running along and you don't seem like you're getting anywhere. Now, I did see on TV, they're advertising these new ones where you can plug in these exotic places and you can go run like over in Hawaii or some path or something, and you can actually, it looks like you're actually there. I mean, you know, I suppose if you got a good imagination or whatever the case may be. But I know if you have a TV on, you maybe watch a news or read a book while you're running. I don't know. But treadmills, that just is too boring for me. I like to have a little more action when I work out or do something, and that's just me. But what I notice, what this is saying here, is Paul saying that you have to have a goal. Now, if you decided today, I know today's awful cold, so you probably won't do it today, but if you decided that you were going to go run 4 laps around the track, and that's your goal, that is an achievable goal. That's a good, worthy goal. Why? Because you can measure it. You said you're going to run 4 laps around the track, and that's good. That's 1 mile. Now, if you decided to set your goal and word it this way, I'm going to go for a run until I get tired. Well, you may run 2 laps. And as soon as you get that little feeling in your body, you quit. See, that's not a good goal. Because your body will say it's tired, quit. Or, you know what I mean? So we got to try to set some goals. So Paul says when he didn't want to do something without aim, so when we set a goal, you need to make it tangible, something measurable. Something that you can achieve and tell if you did it or not. Because if we're not aiming at anything, we're going to hit nothing. That's just the way it is in life. You know, maybe you know some people that need to know Jesus. You know, maybe your goal could be, I'm going to pray for these people every day. And when I get in conversation with them, I'm going to try to maybe work talking about God to them a little bit. Maybe I'm going to invite them to church. You know, just, you know, set a goal like that. And I do that sometimes when I'm talking to somebody or somebody new. You know, I'm looking for opportunity. And, you know, sometimes it ain't there. You know, their heart's not open. And, you know, and I know not to push the situation. I can tell by their answers that now is not a good time to talk about Jesus. You know what I mean? But yet, I still had that goal of wanting to try to do so. So we need to be aiming at something. And also, when we're running, if you and I are in a serious race, we need to get rid of excess baggage. Excess baggage in our life. Now, that is something that you have to measure out what is doing it. You know, what is the excess baggage in our life that's holding us back? You know, if you're wanting to lose a lot of weight, you know, maybe you have to change your shopping habits. Maybe the excess baggage could be 10 bags of tater chips in the closet. You know what I mean? Maybe you need to get something else, you know, in there. Maybe the excess baggage is if you want to spend more time in the Bible and prayer, maybe you may have to cut out on a few of your TV shows. You know what I mean? So what's your excess baggage? What is holding you back? Maybe video games. Maybe you're addicted to those and you'll stay up all night playing video games, and then you're tired the next day, and you don't feel like getting up and praying, so you got to figure that out. Today, when people run, which I get a kick out of, they put those little iPods strapped to their arm, don't they? Those little nanos or ninos or whatever they are, and you got little wires going on, and they're just running along, and that's a good time to listen to the Word or whatever the case may be. Back when I was younger, I don't know if some of you might remember that. Remember them Sony Walkmans when they came out? You know, you couldn't strap one of those to your arm. Those you had to put a belt on, you know, and you put them on your hip. And I think they come out in cassette first, didn't they? And then they went to CD. And, you know, when they went to CD, you had to be really light on your feet. Because if you jiggled, they'd make the CD skip, wouldn't it? You know, it just didn't work quite as good. So technology's really helped a lot in the area of advancement, in the area of being entertained while you work out. It's just a lot different world out there. So what is it that we find out? For me, I find out what holds me back from some of my goals. You know, I may think of them, but maybe I don't write them down. And then when I don't write them down, I don't maybe make some steps on how to do it. And that you have to revisit it. Usually I found that it's lack of planning or a lack of focus. Lack of planning or a lack of focus. You know, meaning that I need to set a goal and I need to deal with the distractions. As I mentioned, you know, maybe video games, TV, you know, whatever the thing may be. But it all comes back to what Apostle Paul said here is discipline in our body. And like I said, Paul was a pretty tough character. In verse 27, he says, but I discipline my body. That word discipline is talking about to beat it black and blue. Now, I don't believe he was telling us that we need to do that to our body, because Paul, in other areas of Scripture, you know, mocked those who are masochists. You know, masochists, they would harm their body, cut it. They would, you know, do things to it to try to hurt themselves, to prove that their body was bad, and, you know, things like that. But that's not what he's talking about here. You know, he was a driven man, and he wanted to sometimes be too hard on himself, but I believe he did it to be an example and a benefit to us. You know, how driven he was. And as I always said, you know, my favorite story of him is, you know, in Acts, that when he was preaching the gospel and he was in Jerusalem and he got accused of taking a Gentile in the temple, which he didn't do, and the people of Israel were wanting to attack him. So they grabbed him and they were going to tear him limb from limb. They hated him so much because that religious spirit just started to manifest inside him. And Paul was out preaching the gospel, starting churches all over the area there. And so they grabbed him and they were starting to tear him apart. And a Roman soldier came and he rescued Paul. And he took Paul and he carried him away and surrounded him with the soldiers. And then they took him up these steps. But when they got to the top of the steps, Paul said, wait a minute, I want to preach to these people. The same people that were just going to kill him, Paul wanted to preach the gospel to them, tell them about the love of Christ. See, he was a driven man. You know, he was one that when he went out, set out to accomplish something, he set his goals. And we're going to go into that next week as we look at that passage that he's talking about, reaching forward. And, you know, that's kind of the personality that we need to attain. You know, we may be more laid back by nature, but I believe deep down inside, we all want to be successful. You know, and I think when we accomplish things, you know, it's not by works that we're saved. Don't get me wrong. But works should be a manifestation of our faith. Works should be, we should be accomplishing something if we are believing. You know, we just don't believe and then pull ourselves out of the world and hide and wait till Jesus comes. No, we're here to make Jesus' enemies his footstool. So Paul knew that he had to make his flesh his slave, or he would be a slave to the flesh. And we've all been there. We can all probably think of times that we said, I'm not going to do that again. A couple weeks later, I did that again. Darn. So then you feel guilty. That's what your repenter's for, amen? Everybody got a repenter? Repenter, you just repent and turn from it and start all over. You know, I heard a guy talking about fasting, and you know, this person was fasting. Their goal was 3 days, and they fasted. And on day two, about in the evening, I think they got hungry and they ate. They felt so bad. They feel they'd failed God. The preacher told them, "Repent and start again." Amen. That's all you do. Get yourself up. Don't stay down. See, the devil wants us to stay down. God wants us to keep getting up. Now, how it really needs to work in our life, and this should be our goal, and we're going to go over this more in the next week or so. It should be spirit, soul, and then body, instead of body, soul, and spirit. So in our culture, we're more body, soul, spirit. You know, our body, how it looks, what we have on, all these things, that's the most important. You know, we're selfie-oriented, right? So we're trying to do that. And then we think about our soul, our emotions and things. I got to feel good about myself, da-da-da-da. And then lastly, if there's any time left in anything, oh, we'll think about our spiritual life. But see, that's when it don't work. You know, God says it's got to be spirit, soul, and body. You know, we need to make sure that we chisel out time or make time for our spirit. And then as we do that, that puts stuff into focus or better way. And then we kind of think about the soul, maybe want to work on that a bit. You know, friendships, relationships, and things like that. And then, you know, we should think about how important our body is. Because if we put our spirit first, it's going to help us. So as we set goals this year, I just wanted us to know our enemy. You know, Paul had the same enemy, and I have the same enemy, and you have the same enemy. And that enemy is our old nature. But now that we've known that before, but I just wanted to expose that a little bit before we started in the goal setting to be aware of what we have to deal with and why it is that we fail. Because I believe that we can overcome, and you know, we may not attain everything that we set our goals, because if it's easy to reach our goal, we probably didn't set our goal high enough. You know what I mean? We sold ourselves short. And I believe that, you know, we can attain more things this year in 2015. I believe God revealed to me 2015 is going to be a year of completion, that we're going to see some things completed that we started. But in order to do that, we have to start, you know, to make steps, make plans to be able to get these things done. So in this next coming week, I want you to spend a little time thinking about what it is you want to do this year. What is it you want to see accomplished? What changes do you want to make in your routine or your behavior to be able to be more successful? You know, first in the spirit realm, then emotionally with friends, you know, or whatever the case may be, and then with your body. Maybe you want to bring it under subjection. But if you don't put your spirit life first, you will never bring your body under subjection. You cannot win that battle alone. Nobody can. That's why we need help. We need God. Amen? Let's pray.